It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday.
Fun.
We'll see. It's a no-conflict Friday. Nyshawn Narragosa is here as a company. What's up?
We back. What's up?
I don't know. We might have some conflict today. I have to warn everyone. I think
like
we're going to...
conflict, baby.
We have...
Bring it.
Today ranges from what athletes should be saying and should not be saying to us serving as the fashion and maybe even makeup police. The range on the show is incredible.
Okay. I'm excited to see what,
are you?
What you have in store.
Okay, well.
Steve Cofield.
You kind of know what's coming, but how we present it is the mystery. Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. It is nice here. It is cool here. The parking is free here.
It's actually popping today.
I will say, I don't think I'm young enough to use popping, but I'll go with what you said. And I'm not telling people to come down here and go next door. Next door has been kind of crazy. That's a mirage. They're closing next week. And they sent out a message. Hey, we got to get rid of all this money, all these progressives. And people went freaking crazy the last couple of days. So I probably have to walk over to check it out for myself. I don't always trust social media, but it's pretty wild. So.
Okay. Well, first of all, they got half off wine. I don't know.
Oh, I
don't know how low the inventory is on that. But I will say, once you let social media know that there's discounts and that a place is closing
on the
down,
strip,
on the strip,
yes,
you best believe that place is probably empty already.
I do know this. They put a lot of security around some of the super progressive machines. So I don't play machines.
Yeah.
So when I saw it, I was like, okay. I mean, I don't know. So people get excited though. This is a gambling town. So.
But why do you put? Okay, explain to me why they're putting security around all of the machines.
Because people are getting super frenzied. They have, when you close down a property, you have to clean out your progressives in the building. So all the machines that have progressives, you see the top number up there?
Yep.
They have to, I guess we'll use the word liquidate, before they close. So at the beginning of the week, it's like, hey, basically come in. You probably have a little bit better chance of winning. And that just, you know.
But I wonder what the reasoning is behind that. Because wouldn't you give that just to another property?
No, because they're selling.
Got it.
So. I don't even know.
New every day.
I don't even know, and I'm not an expert on this. I don't even know if you could actually transfer it in the sale. I'm guessing it's a game and call that if you have progressives and you're going to shut down a casino, you got to get rid of those progressives, and whoever's taking over, they can start fresh with whatever machines they're getting or new machines. So I don't know. I just know, sadly, that place is getting knocked down, and they're going to build a whole new property. It's cool to have the Hard Rock back in town and the Seminoles here, but it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. So this part of the strip, this is going to be it for like 4 years, and the Mirage is going bye-bye. We come in every day, and we start scanning the scene around Las Vegas Nye for what's going on sports-wise, and I'm just blown away. There's always three or four things going on, and even during weekdays, we've got NBA Summer League right now. There's two games going on. Cox Pavilion has a game. Thomas and Mack has the game going on. I see Zach Edey in street clothes at the Cox Pavilion. This is such a cool event. It really is an NBA convention here in Vegas, yearly. We just had Team USA here. Now they're off to, I think their first stop for more exhibition games is Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to London, and then they go to Paris to play. But, yeah, the rest of the NBA brass is here, and they're playing games, and it's the 12th to the 22nd. Let's give away some tickets right now. 364-1100, caller 7-364-1100. Summer League going on through the 22nd. Tickets are $45 for adults, $35 for kids, and I think seniors. I should look into that. I think I'm a senior. UNLVtickets.com is where you get the tickets. But right now, four tickets for any day. 364-1100. Griffin's going to hook you up. Caller 7. So, Nye, it's hard to believe, but the Raiders are 12 days away from kicking off training camp.
It's about to go down.
Won't be here, though.
Yep.
First time since they've been in Vegas. Won't be here. It's going to be in Costa Mesa. Cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Tell me if I'm wrong on this, because this is like an old school football mentality. While the facilities at the Hendo Raiders facility are the amenities are awesome, right? All the training room, I'm sure all the whatever else, rehab stuff in place. It's going to be rougher in Costa Mesa. That's an old facility.
Yes.
Do you like that? Like, because my guess is the coaches are like, you know, let's go rough it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you go rough it somewhere hotter. That's not possible. Unless, we're, you know, they're going, hey, let's go to the border. Let's go to Yuma. But do you like sending the players off for 3 weeks? Like, hey, you know what? All the creature comforts of home?
Yes.
No more.
Yeah. Because why do you need the comforts of your own home? You need a different background. You need a different setting. You need to be away from your family because family, at the end of the day, we love them, but they could be a huge distraction.
I like that.
Yeah. But I love the idea of going away. It gives the guys the opportunity to really focus in on an entirely different level. And yes, they might not have the same amenities that their facility here does have, but they've put in a lot of money already to build up what it should be out in Costa Mesa, which we'll see what that'll look like very soon.
This has already been a really interesting offseason for the Raiders. They picked a head coach, AP, Antonio Pierce goes from interim to the guy. Max Crosby, before AP got the job, said on his podcast, I want that guy to get the job, and if he doesn't, I may ask for a trade. Like, okay. So the optics on that I don't think are great. It almost sounds like, hey, the players are picking the coach. I get the rationale. Now we've got this one. I think this is really interesting. Devonta Adams talks a lot, and Devonta, he's great for us. He's part of this receiver show on Netflix. And, you know, when Devonta speaks, and I don't want to give him more ammo to not trust the media, but there are times when his words get a little twisted or misrepresented or shortened. I personally think this is a bad look for the Raiders. I don't think it's a true look. But, headline, Devonta Adams, quote, signed off on, unquote, Jimmy Garoppolo benching, which he said must happen for him to remain a Raider. Whoa.
Why is that bad?
I don't think you can have the player saying, I get to pick the quarterback. I get to pick the coach.
Why not?
That's a good answer. I don't think you're right. I think there are optics. I think it's very dangerous. I'm very much a player power guy, like fight the power. I'm very pro-labor. But I do think there has to be a division between input's good, but I do think there has to be a division between management and the players. Sometimes the players don't see the big picture. Sometimes the players can be wrapped in some emotion of what's going on right then.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to defend these guys? That, hey, Max made it look like he picked the head coach, and Devonta is like, you know what, I want another quarterback
in there. And that's okay. The Raiders are who they are because of the players, because of their talent. So I agree with Max Crosby saying that he wants AP. You got LeBron running the Lakers. You got all these stars players running their organizations. So the Raiders can speak up. And Devonta Adams spoke up. You came to the Raiders to win. You guys have not been winning. You are going, what is his 11th season that he's going into? You want to win and you haven't been, which is the reason why also Josh Jacobs is out of there. So I believe that players are allowed to have an input. I don't think that Devonta Adams had the input, but he had a input. And I think it's important to include your players in your decisions.
That part's right. But the player power thing, I like that you tied it to LeBron and the Lakers. You know what LeBron and the Lakers have? Very similar to the Raiders. Kind of mediocre.
I would say now, but the Lakers as an overall organization was a better ran organization.
Right, but now Lakers fans are really disappointed because they feel
they
like LeBron is a GM and they're a Midland club. If Raiders fans, those who get frustrated when they see Devonta say, I pick the quarterback, or Crosby say, essentially, I'm going to muscle my way to get the head coach, Raiders fans can look at that and go, mediocre. So is that working?
I don't really think you can use mediocre in that standpoint yet, though, because you don't. We've seen the Jimmy Garoppolo situation play out. But you haven't seen the AP situation play out because we haven't even seen him coach at that level for an entire season. So I can give you an answer at the end of next season to see how I feel about it, but I don't think that it's mediocre. I think we're watching a team rebuild themselves. If they fell for years to come, then we can say, we can complain about the Max Crosby choosing AP. Then we can complain about Devontae Adams not desiring to have Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback.
By the way, I don't entirely disagree with, at some point last season, Devontae Adams saying, you know what, I work with both of these quarterbacks, it ain't working, or it's not going to work again with Garoppolo, so let's go with the other guys. When we come back, we're going to start previewing the NBA Summer League. Nye is in, it's Cofield and Company, T.I. on a Friday, C.T., Curtis Terry, will join us sometime this hour to break down the NBA Summer League.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
You know, he said, guy from Kansas State, call him, offer him $600,000 because they lost their quarterback and if he got in the portal. And I'm not accusing Kansas State of anything. I'm just telling you what the kid told me. If they don't want their name thrown in it, I think they should probably get a handle on their people. But there's a lot of that going on in college football, and that's just the way things are right now.
That feels like a no-no. That was Jay Norvell, Colorado State coach, throwing a bunch of schools under the bus and naming numbers that they offered his football players. And yet, I don't know that I have a big problem with it. We're going to get to that in a couple minutes. Jay Norvell kind of snitching, or without being able to turn in officially, Kansas State, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss going after schools like that. And that's part of big-time college football and men's basketball with the money that's out there. I want to continue on the Raiders. We're going to hunt down CT in just a little bit. So we were just talking about Max Crosby and Devontae Adams. Listen, they say things. Sometimes they're perfectly in context. Sometimes they get a little pulled out of context. And they kind of make it look like they're running the Raiders. So I wonder what the record's going to be this year. Part of that is, was AP the right choice? Who's making the quarterback call this year? Because Devontae also, it seems like he wants Akon. I think they need training camp to make sure they get a really good look at Minshew. So we'll see what's happening there. From a culture standpoint, I think player input's awesome. We'll get to this in a couple of minutes. All right, let's bring up Curtis Terry. Curtis, what's up, buddy?
What's up?
What's going on, Steve? How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We played a bite coming back, and I was hoping you could hear it, but I'll describe it to you. Jay Norvell, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. He's the CSU football coach. He talked about schools like Kansas State offering, and he mentioned a specific number, $600,000 to his quarterback who's returning, a sophomore, Fowler Nicolosi. And also, he's got a great receiver. He said Texas A&M was offering money to guys, Ole Miss. Do you think that's a no-no from a college football or a college basketball coach?
Oh, boy. I mean, that worked with a slippery slope, right? I mean, in terms of, I mean, there was rules that they can't really have a hand in the NIL negotiations or making the deals or finding them for the guys. But, I mean, in this day and age with college athletics, I mean, if it's not breaking the rules, I would assume it's okay. But, man, I think that's where college athletics are starting to get a little slippery and a little messy. But hell, good for coach for making that offer if it's all above board.
Well, I think it applies especially in basketball because Kansas State had a big budget this offseason. Apparently, they've got a couple of younger dudes or wealthy alums, and they want to win. And I'm hearing this at a lot of schools. Like, hey, we got new donors. They want to win. In some ways, it's actually because the football squad is a certain size and a quarterback is key. But in basketball, I think the big budget schools, and some of the schools like TCU, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Big 12's crazy. I actually think it has more impact, big dollars, for college basketball on the men's side.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, obviously, just cause, I mean, there's fewer spots on the roster, right? At every school, fewer opportunities for guys. There's a lot more football players, high school football players, college football players. But when it comes to basketball, I mean, throwing that kind of money around, especially when you're talking about that region, we know there's a lot of money down there, new money, old money, oil money, especially throughout the Big 12, and you start leaking into SEC. But I think that's where you see some of those differences, and you got lower mid-major schools getting some of their players poached because of that big money. But I think it really comes down to having not just a good NIL package, but also good player development and having a good culture to be able to keep those guys around and try to do something special, and not just offering playing time, but just a good experience. I think that's what most of these guys want, because now they're going to be able to make some money wherever they go.
Curtis Terry's with us. All right, let's talk some NBA Summer League in a couple minutes, but let's talk Team USA. Now, let's get into the situation with Jaylen Brown. I want your take, and we want CT's take. So what do you think is going on with the complaining?
All right. So, as you all know, Kawhi's out. Derek's in. Jaylen Brown goes on Twitter and @ Nike. And then not only that, it has the three emoji sign of concern. What's
emojis.
Going on? Right?
That's
the emojis.
The
he uses the emojis. So I think the debate now is going around in regards to Jaylen Brown's attitude and as to why you think you were the best fit for Team USA over Derek White. Now, we all have our opinions about what their different strengths are in regards to the game. In my opinion, yes, Jaylen Brown could have made it, but I think that Derek White is in a great position to be there. He's in a great position to set his other teammates up, and he's also a really great defender as well. What frustrates me about Jaylen Brown is you want to keep complaining. You won Finals MVP. You won a ring. You got a beautiful lady on your side. You won an award last night at the ESPYs, and you still complaining. There has to be a part where you got to grow up.
Curtis?
The only thing that rubbed me wrong, and these are kind of things that I think I'm just nitpicky, just the public, just disparaging emojis that he put out there, right? I mean, especially because that's your teammate. Now, whether you think you should have made it or not, I mean, that's obviously up for debate. But I think it's a situation where Jaylen Brown obviously had a great finals, got the finals MVP, which I think you could make the argument that Jason Tatum should have got the vote for that and got that trophy. But I think along with that, especially when it comes to international basketball, and it's the key thing, you've got to pick the right guys to fill out a roster, because international basketball is officiated and played differently than it is in the States, than the NBA or the college game. And so I think that's a matter of having the right pieces. I think Derek White's a guy that can fit into a team regardless of who's on it, pretty seamlessly, as to where a guy like Jaylen Brown, not that he can't, but not as much of a playmaking guy, a guy you can throw out there. He's going to expect to have the ball in his hands at times, especially coming off the finals that he did. And I think they've got plenty of guys that can score. And so I think they need more role player type guys and kind of just jack of all trade players. And I think Derek White fits that. But hell, if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'd probably throw some emojis out there as well, especially just feeling like he got snubbed after what he just accomplished in June.
Tell me this, Curtis. You've seen everything taking place in the media in regards to Jaylen Brown and Stephen A. Smith. You've seen at the parade he had a shirt on that said State Your Sources. Now, Stephen A. Smith comes back out and bites back on Twitter. And to me, it's a big bite. What do you think about this entire situation with Stephen A. Smith and Jaylen Brown going at it in regards to Brown's attitude?
It's my opinion doesn't really matter, and I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of people have an opinion that they really want to put out there, and especially when it comes to people, us in the media, trying to poke and prod and get reactions from people. But I think the one thing you got to do if you're going to make a statement or a comment like Stephen A. Smith has made or other guys have made, you can't just hide behind your keyboard or hide behind your phone and make those comments. You've got to kind of put your name on it, put a source's name on it. If you're going to make something or attack on somebody. So I do commend Jaylen Brown for those types of responses and standing up for yourself and pushing back, because I think you have to. Otherwise, we've seen what can happen in the media, and things can go south very quickly just because they're not addressed or someone just dismisses them. So kind of like guys like Kevin Durant always steps up and says something, even if it's to a fan on Twitter. You've got to be able to stand your ground and protect yourself.
Curtis Terry's with us. I could deep dive on that for a while, but we'll let it go because, Nye said, Stephen A. came out and said, he's like, see, I told you, people think he's a jerk. Let's talk about the offseason so far. And I found a good story up on NBA.com talking about the biggest winners of the offseason. Teams listed: Philadelphia, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio. Do you think all of those teams are winners? And by the way, now I'm blanking on it. Who the hell did Philly? Philly picked up another player today. If you don't know it offhand, I'll add in. But who's a winner in that group? Are they all three winners?
San Antonio, obviously, I think they've made improvements. I don't know if that pushes the needle for them to make huge strides to what they need to get back to the level of expectation for San Antonio Spurs basketball. Obviously, Oklahoma City, with SGA at the point, they've got the future is very bright for them. I think they made a couple key pieces. Adding Alex Caruso obviously is going to help. But I think it's hard to say that the Sixers are not the biggest winner and didn't close the gap in terms of what they did here this offseason. Obviously, adding Paul George, bringing back Kyle Lowry. They also added Caleb Martin. So I think they've got some strategic pieces and places that they needed to be able to give the help to Tyrese Maxey and obviously Joel Embiid. But they're closing the gap on the Boston Celtics. But then you can't forget about the New York Knicks and what they just did and what Jalen Brunson just conceded in terms of not taking all the money and leaving a boatload of money on the table. I think that'll pay off well for the Knicks. Hopefully it just doesn't turn around and bite him in the butt, and you just pray a guy like that doesn't face any type of injuries.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you with the 76ers. For me, they're the biggest winners because they've hit a complete home run in signing Paul George. They re-signed Tyrese Maxey, brought back Kelly Oubre, Caleb Martin, and then, of course, Eric Gordon, who will be a scorer off the bench. I think that they were the most pivotal pieces. How do you feel about the Kings?
I think the Kings are still steady in where they are. Obviously, when you bring DeMar DeRozan in, a guy who's a proven scorer in the NBA, probably just under-respected and underrated in terms of what he's done in the course of his career. A vet that's going to come in and give them production. But you got De'Aaron Fox, you got Sabonis, you got Malik Monk. You've got a really strong group there that probably feel like they underachieved this past season, especially what they did the season before and getting further in the playoffs. So I think, again, the West is as a whole is very strong, but you got some really good teams that have some experience that have youth, but they're not young. But they've added some key pieces like the Kings, who can make some noise, especially in a situation where it's kind of up in the air on what's going to happen with the Golden State Warriors or what type of team they're going to put out on the floor after they had kind of a lackluster year last year and coming off that championship 2 years ago.
So I know you stated that the West is getting stronger. I want to flip the page now. Who is your biggest loser?
Damn, it's got to be the Clippers, I think. I would say the Clippers, or I would say the Lakers too, though. I don't think the Lakers added enough pieces to be able to compete. Obviously, they got some of their key guys back, but I don't think they made enough additions. Things can still happen. Obviously, last season we saw trades happen late in the summer. Guys, teams were going into training camp with Jrue Holiday, obviously, with Damian Lillard as well. But I think the Clippers not keeping Paul George, I think it's a huge miss on their part. Even if you don't want to shell out the money, I think you have to try to stay competitive in the West. Especially in a situation where Paul George has proven that out of those three guys, even though James Harden hasn't been there as long as them, he's probably the best player right now, most consistent player, just because with Kawhi Leonard, we don't know what we're going to get, especially with him having to pull out from the Olympics. It's just to lose a guy like that and not to really replace him with as strong of a guy offensively. But again, I've got to give respect to Derrick Jones Jr., fellow UNLV runner rebel, to step in and hopefully he can help them on the defensive end and they can find some other pieces to put the ball in the basket.
The former running rebel, Curtis Terry's up on Cofield & Company. Nye Zaragoza is here. It's Cofield. We're at TI. All right, let's close on this one. Summer League is started. So we are got games going on right now with Minnesota 62-56 up on New Orleans in the big arena, and Memphis is playing SAC in the Cox Pavilion. What are you just pick one thing. What are you looking forward to the most with the Summer League here at NBA in town for the next 10-11 days?
The big thing, and this is what I noticed, but again, I'm being a homer, just the general publicity and the showmanship that the UNLV basketball program can put on and UNLV as a campus and as a community. Obviously, with USA coverage, with the NBA Summer League being there, that's obviously just huge in terms of visibility. But the thing I like to see mostly, and I'm not sure who said this, but somebody, I think it was Jared Dudley, said the other day, there's guys that are going to come out and they're going to average 25 in Summer League and not make a roster, and the guys will come out and they'll average 6 or 7 in the course of Summer League and will be on NBA rosters. I think Summer League is about these teams, these coaches, these GMs finding kind of some of those hidden gems and those guys that maybe fell through the cracks, and you're trying to identify those guys. And so I like to see the guys that come out there that are competing hard, being good teammates, and really trying to find their niche so that way they can get that opportunity to get the training camp deal and get a roster spot or a two-way deal. So I think that's the fun of it. You're obviously going to have those big names that are going to come out. Bronny, we'll see Bronny and what he's going to do. You're going to see those high draft picks. But for me, it's about seeing those guys really compete late on the line, because you're chasing a dream, and for some of them, this will be that only chance that they have to go after it.
All right, Curtis. Have a good weekend. We appreciate it, dude.
Thanks, Curtis.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Come back. We are going to talk about the ESPYs a lot during the show, so we'll come back. Some pretty good jokes. Does anyone in the crowd have a sense of humor, though? Man, talk about freaking moping faces when jokes were being told about different people.
Now, back to Cofield & Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
What I'm trying to say is that nothing will stand in the way of these incredible athletes in their pursuit of greatness. I mean, except the Florida Panthers. But, boy, Connor, that must have hurt. To lose a game of ice hockey to a place that doesn't even have ice. For now, the only Stanley Cup Connor will get to hold is the one his wife asks him to grab out of the cabinet.
King Laser, big hit at the TB12 roast. Make a little cash, right? I'm assuming she's getting paid, I think, right? I wouldn't do that if I wasn't getting paid, but she's already got enough exposure. The whole point is, when you watch that video at the ESPYs, busting the chops of the Oilers, I don't think Connor McDavid is there. That's not his type of event. He actually doesn't like promoting hockey, so he's not. I think he's terrible for the game. But Evander Kane was in the crowd and couldn't even give like any sort of laugh. That generally is the case with these events where maybe people aren't paying attention. Maybe it wasn't a good joke. I thought it was pretty good. Giveaway timer. We're going to talk to Willie Ramirez inside of 5 minutes. Aces Insider with AP. You can find his stuff up on WGRamirez.com. Four tickets for the final game of the first half here in town. The Angel Reese's, otherwise known as the Chicago Sky, in town on the 16th. Four tickets to the Aces Chicago game. It's in the fan zone. That's brought to you by our Credit Union and Finley Volkswagen Henderson. 364-1100. Aces tickets next week. Caller number 7.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Caitlin Clark had an amazing year and is nominated for 3 awards. Caitlin, you are the Larry Bird in that you are an amazing player. You have ties to Indiana, and white people are really crazy about you.
I don't know if that was necessary. I thought it was funny. I will correct Serena Williams at the ESPYs. Adam Hill is a white person. He's not crazy about Caitlin Clark. Let's bring in Willie Ramirez. WNBA, it's every day. Just that, keep playing the hits, man. This stuff comes down the pike. Willie Ramirez.
Hey, Willie.
AP is with us, WGRamirez.com. What's up, buddy?
What's happening? I am, as I just told Griffin, I was moving at a 4-mile-per-hour pace at a 20% incline, but I've taken it down a notch so I don't breathe too heavy before this massive push day workout at the Perfect Gym.
Wait a second. I thought you were driving. I didn't know you were going to be working out there on the spot. What the hell's going on here? Oh, he's working out.
I came down. There were some business to be had with my business partner, so I got on the road sooner. So I'm actually doing this spot from the gym well ahead of time.
Okay, well, we'll be the judge if your stamina is good enough to keep going.
And after several media days this week, I need the extra cardio.
Yes. You may have. I'll ask you. Were you? I don't even know where Willie was yesterday. I'm so lost. I don't even know where I am. Willie, where the hell were you yesterday? Now I'm forgetting.
I didn't go anywhere yesterday.
Okay, good,
I actually was here. I have my personal trainer. I was down here at our gym, and I kind of took it easy and relaxed and slept off of the first few days of prep for the Big 12 media days, which was absolutely insane.
You were a big hit. We're going to get to that inside of 5 minutes. The Serena shot joke at Caitlin Clark and lots of whites. People are going crazy over that. They are going crazy, saying it was racist. What do you think?
So here's the thing. I saw a bunch of comments, and to be honest with you, I shrugged off the whole racial thing because I think at this point, 2024, everybody's got their own set of rules. So I guess at this point, anybody can say whatever they want in certain aspects of their life and who they are. The problem that I had more than anything is, why are we comparing her to Larry Bird and why not Diana Taurasi or one of the WNBA greats? I mean, if a man were going to compare a female athlete to a man, then there might be some tone of misogynistic conversation, but a woman can do it. So I suppose they have their own set of rules there, too. But I did have a big problem with the comparison of a female to a male basketball great. I get the whole Indiana tie-in, right, because he's from Indiana. She's playing for Indiana, but she's not necessarily from Indiana. Why not just compare it to one of the WNBA greats? That was the first thing that stuck out to me. I really didn't – at this point in time, I really don't catch the racial overtones unless they're absolutely 100% derogatory. You and I know – Steve, you know me. I go back to the Don Rickles days when nobody was safe and humor is humor. So I didn't have a problem as much as I did with comparing her to a man.
All right, now, okay, let's just talk about the overall, right? We keep hearing all this talk, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, everybody, we got Willie Ramirez, and I want to get your opinion in with this. Okay, you have best college athlete, Caitlin Clark wins that award, best record-breaking performance, Caitlin Clark breaking the NCAA scoring record. Did you agree with all of those?
Yeah, because in college, the narrative was around, you know, those specific things, best college athlete, best record-breaking performance. It's hard not to agree with that on the overall. You know, if you're going to talk wins and losses and championships, then Angel Reese doesn't enter the conversation because she didn't win the championship. It was Camila Cardoso, right, with South Carolina. So in reality, that shouldn't have been. If we're talking championships, then when you talk about college athlete, then I guess Camila should come into the conversation. If not Tessa Johnson or anyone on South Carolina. So I don't have a problem with her winning the awards. The awards that we're talking about these days with the WNBA, I'm an Angel Reese person. I'm not a Caitlin Clark hater, but I'm on the Angel Reese team right now going into the first half of the season. But I didn't have a problem with the awards that she won.
Oh, okay. So you ride in the Juju Watkins, that truck that you ride in, right? Juju Watkins came out and said that she believes Angel Reese should be the rookie of the year. So you agree with
100%.
That?
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do believe that Juju Watkins was a good choice for breakout. I saw some people that said that CJ Stroud, and I can't remember the other person that I saw argued that it could have been CJ Stroud or somebody else. But I like Juju Watkins winning that, and I love her personality. I can't wait to cover her and Paige Beckers in the WNBA. But, yes, I'm in the Angel Reese camp right now.
All right, I have a question. I have one more question for you. I know that you said you don't like that Caitlin Clark was compared to a man, right? She should have been compared to Diana. But what do you feel about the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese thing? And this is just like literally a personal question that I just popped up into my head. They're being compared to Magic and Bird.
That's different because what you're comparing, you're not comparing them to their styles of play and who they are. You're comparing the rivalry to the rivalry. And what that means is that they played for a championship. They came into the NBA and immediately played for a championship. They created a long-term, decade-long rivalry. The rivalry itself is different when that was something that was carried from college dominance into the NBA. And I think the comparison is, and I think, yes, you have to say it's the black and white. It's the, you know, and it's the play for a championship in college. It's everything that surrounds a rivalry. But in saying you are the next Larry Bird, no, she's the next Diana Taurasi, or she's the next Sue Bird, or she's the next Lisa Leslie, or whatever, whoever you want to compare her to. But the rivalry, you're comparing rivalries and greatness coming from college to the NBA, college to the WNBA. That comparison makes more sense.
Willie is with us. Willie Ramirez from the AP. You want to check out his stories there and WGRamirez.com. So you have a bunch of stories on the Big 12. First of all, you got a really good question in with Deion Sanders up on the dais, and he answered by saying, hey, he's judged differently. I know we talked about this a little bit the other day, but can you explain what that meant? Do you agree with him?
I do. I agree 100%. And not because of this season or where he's going to be going into this season, Judge, but when you go back to him being hired by Jackson State, right? It was, you know, who does he think he is? Just being, he thinks he can come in on his name and his laurels of being prime time. Yet this was a guy that spent 9 years doing it the right way at different football academy or schools, right? Academies at Prime Prep and Trinity, and then there was another one. He was the offensive coordinator. But he spent 9 years sort of grinding away at the high school level. And I'm not smacking our good boy Tony Sanchez around, but it's not like Deion Sanders came into Division I football and went right to, you know, a group of five school. He went to Jackson State, which is an FCS school. So he brought a lot with him as far as brought eyes. He brought national attention, College game day, to historic black colleges. His intention was beyond just coaching college football. He wanted to be a leader of young men, and more so a leader of young black men, and it's something to be admired. And he did what he, you know, what he thought he had to do for X amount of years. He led that. They were undefeated in the two seasons after the pandemic year in SWAC play. He was offered a job at Colorado. He brought additional eyes to Colorado while he was in the Pac-12. Revenue and admissions were up, as he noted. And now they moved to the Big 12. People are knocking him because of what he said. But at the same time, if you're going to knock him for using his name to get into the college ranks, then you have to accept that he's going to say he's going to be judged based on who he is. He's 100% right. We are not going to sit here and look at what Florida Atlantic is doing in the first couple of weeks or Syracuse, or I'm just going to throw random schools out there. We will be paying attention to Colorado because of Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders because of who they are. It's point blank. It's the truth.
Willie is with us, Willie Ramirez. Willie, what did you think of Shedeur saying Colorado is everyone's Super Bowl?
Okay, so on this one, I love, by the way, how my questions all went viral on different platforms, right? I mean, ESPN and SportsCenter use the video of me, and then these other ones of Shedeur, it was just my question with no face in the answer. It was like 15 minutes of no-name fame. I have to wonder if what he actually meant when he said everyone knows we're. Yes, it's Colorado because that's where that, but I think he may have meant the Sanders. We're everybody's Super Bowl. Like, we want to go in and beat Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, these flamboyant guys that walk around with the braggadocio way, right? And now Shiloh Sanders to boot. So I have to think that comes with it. They're gunning for them. That's the target. He doesn't mean that they're the Super Bowl because they're the Alabamas out there and the Oklahomas and whoever else is going to be in the national championship race. I think he just means that they want that. Deion Sanders, wherever he's at, had a target on his back. I think he had a target on his back at Jackson State, and I think he had a target. You know, it's like saying on the Sunrise side in Nevada Preps, Liberty, that's their Super Bowl. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're Gorman, but I think that's what he meant. Obviously, nobody really pressed him on it because they said it and ran with the soundbite, but that's what I think, and it makes perfect sense. Think about it. People, you're going to tell me that teams don't want to go into Boulder and beat Deion Sanders? I think it's definitely circled on everybody's calendar.
Willie Ramirez is on Cofield and Company. All right, Aces get a win the other day. That does not help me in our 28-12 bet. You say 28-12 or better. I say under. That was a good win at the Storm. Asia Wilson went off, 24 points and 20 rebounds. You have a great question, especially in conjunction with the ESPYs last night. Is Asia Wilson – well, you know what? I'll let you ask it because I think this can be – particular in the way you ask it on being the best female athlete in the world. What are you actually asking?
Well, no, wasn't that what she was? I thought she got best female athlete, not best female. Not she got best WNBA player, but I thought she won best female athlete of the year. Okay. I mean, it's of all sports, doesn't it? So, I mean, in reality, for years and decades, Serena Williams has been, you know, in many of our eyes, if not, then I believe the people are mistaken, but the best women female athlete. But I think right now, in the world of all sports, it's going to be hard to argue against Asia Wilson. Disclaimer, give me about a month, and we may be saying the same thing about somebody in track and field from the Summer Olympics, or maybe another sport. But, I mean, there are some – track and field is a pretty dynamic sport. But I think Asia Wilson – for everything that she's doing, I think it encompasses, when you say athlete, that title, you know, you have to embrace a role and who she is, right? In writing the book that she wrote, you know, and everything that she's always claimed, you know, she always says, you know, for all the little black girls that see me, but she says a lot of times for all the little girls that see me. You see her take time to sign autographs and for her fans. And I think everything that she embraces and encompasses, she's the greatest athlete in the world right now.
BattleForVegas.com. Last remaining tickets. Go check out the site. Charity softball game tomorrow, VGK. And Raiders Stars. This is a great one. Willie, who do you think is going to get the biggest roar amongst all the players at the softball game?
Ryan Reeves. And Max Crosby's playing, isn't he?
Yes.
Is Matt Troy? Okay, so it's one of those two. I want the decibel level. I want somebody to turn it on at the ballpark, but I think it's one of those two gets the biggest roar. Ryan Reeves undoubtedly is going to get, one of the top two roars. If he doesn't get number one, that means Max Crosby's getting the other one.
Nice.
There's no doubt in my mind.
What do you think? So, he's the most popular athlete.
Oh, 100%. I'm agreeing with Willie. 100%.
Ryan Reeves over Max Crosby?
Well, to a certain standpoint, it depends. We'll say whoever wins the game gets the bragging rights.
I don't know if Willie's going to
decide.
It's
got to be on introduction. I think the biggest roar is going to be upon introduction. After the game, it's going to be the team that wins it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Willie, are you going to be there tomorrow?
No.
He's
too
very
hot.
Busy man.
I'm not covering it, and I'm not getting paid, so I'm not going.
Willie, we appreciate it, man. WGRamirez.com, AP writer, Aces Insider, joins us every Friday. He's hosting every once in a while on Cofield and Company. We're glad to have him back in the fold. Willie, thank you so much, buddy.
Bye,
all right,
Willie.
Don't forget
get
the underings down there. They're awesome. Nah, good to talk to you.
He's good to talk to you.
He's always in the gym. He's always in the gym.
Yes, good.
I'm surprised you said that.
Yeah.
That Reeves over.
I like a different standpoint sometimes, you know? I don't always like to go with my biases.
Oh, okay. So you would be louder. You would be louder with your ovation for one of the Raiders.
Yeah.
I get it. Now, let's do a prize to close out this hour. 364. Hey, you know what? I gave them away. No prizes. How about that?
Dang, no prizes. Know,
I was all fired up. I'm like, let me do it.
You just got the viewers all teased
I'm
up
sorry,
no
guys.
Reason.
We're up against it with the prize haul, and plus we should really cut those off at 4:30 anyway. All right, 4 o'clock hours on the way. I didn't get to compliment Willie on. I don't know if you saw the videos over at Big 12. He had a red jacket on.
I seen the red.
I actually think
coat.
The questions were good. The answers were better, but I actually think people are cutting up the video. They're like, it's a red jacket, man. Like, we don't really include anyone asking the question, but this red jacket is outstanding. I will tell you who is really getting into fashion and makeup now. Believe it or not, it is one of the Niners, one of the biggest stars in the NFL. We got to talk Christian McCaffrey and Olivia Culpo on the way back. I think he is in way too deep right now.